The Way It Is by William Stafford. There is a thread you follow. It goes among the things that change, but it doesn't change. People wonder about what you are pursuing. You have to explain about the thread. But it is hard for others to see. While you hold it, you can't get lost. Tragedies happen. People get hurt or die. And you suffer and get old. Nothing you do can stop time's unfolding. You don't ever let go of the thread. When I was on sabbatical, I noticed a few things that I have tried to hang on to and am trying to build into my practices and our practices for next year. The first is the need to simplify just about everything in my life, which is going about as well as the don't do anything alone practice. And the third thing is to frequently pause and notice what has happened. I am a person who is hungry for the future and always focused on what is possible. And so I am constantly in danger of failing to notice what has happened, failing to fully notice as I plunge headlong into the next minute, the next project, the next. And this is one of the purposes that poetry has always served in my life, both reading other people's and writing my own. It is the time that I settle into my deepest self and actually notice the depth and meaning of any moment in life. And I don't get to write as much as I used to. And also, my poetry has always been a very private practice of noticing. So on sabbatical and coming back into this year, I really noticed how essential it is to me and to my ministry with you to find ways to pause and notice, to fully witness what has been unfolding. Can't always be in poetic form. But there are many ways to notice in this life. Thank you notes are one of them, and that's why we'll have thank you notes as part of our services for the next 3 weeks. As one theologian said, if thank you is the only prayer you ever say, that is enough. And I'm also engaging in another practice this morning. In May, we start planning worship for the fall. So each year as we head into the annual meeting, which we're doing after the service today, I am thinking about September and the end of October and Christmas. But I did something this week that I hardly ever do. I went back and looked through the services from this past year. And I thought about, what is that thread? What's the thing that I keep pulling on through all of the tumult that was this year? You might recall that in the fall we started having monthly themes, because I thought that the discipline of themes, that structure, might inspire some interesting participation from the congregation and inspire some creativity from me in planning worship. Sometimes a form inspires new ways of doing things. And we did get some wonderful things when we talked about bees and bread and fire. You might remember Amy Robinson's reflection on bees. Amy is a member of our congregation who has a lot of bees. Amy said that when bees are doing very well in their hive, that's when they decide that they should send a swarm out. And that the swarm plunges from the perfect order inside the original mother hive into total chaos. This causes a state of feverish work and motivates them to start making new combs to create the body of a new colony all over again. Perhaps this is what I love the most about honeybees, says Amy. When everything is going well, when they are most comfortable, when they have more food than they can eat, they plunge into the unknown and begin again. It has felt at other points in this year like we are a swarm of bees, that the world has plunged into uncertainty and that we are reforming and rebuilding and figuring out a way to live. That wasn't what I was planning when we picked that theme of bees. And that is, of course, how it goes. It never goes the way you plan for it to go. You might remember one of the other moments of sweetness with that theme of bees when we shared apples and honey together for Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, when we wished each other a sweet new year and said, "We begin again in love." You almost certainly remember me citing Brené Brown over and over and over and over again. Can anyone give the definition of shame? Have I said it often enough that anyone has it memorized? There's some nodding. Shame is the fear that we are not worthy of connection. The longer I work in New England, and the more I read Brené Brown, the more I think that one of the essential things we wrestle with in New England is shame. That it affects all of our conversations and all of our choices and all of our relationships. And so I've been pulling on that thread, hoping that we might relax a little more in each other's presence. You know, of course, that I blame John Calvin for this. He has been my scapegoat for a long time, and I may not be fully justified in that. It's just shorthand for the fact that we've inherited a set of ideas about how humans are that are isolating and divisive. We live with them without knowing that we do. And we live into them all the time unless we work steadily against that undertow. I think that is a thread that I have been talking about for, is it 16 years now? Although I have a new name for it now. It's Puritan Standard Operating System. And I think I've talked all year about how we need to upgrade. And it's a little frustrating to do those upgrades. And sometimes you get stuck mid-upgrade and you have to go back and start over. And it's sort of like being in that swarm of just the chaos of figuring out how we'll land again. Part of that conversation about upgrading our system started in the fall when we talked about the book Waking Up White, and it moved through the year until we heard from Black Lives Boston this spring. And I have been looking for, I think, almost 2 years now for more poetry and wisdom from African American authors so that we might hear from a wider worldview in worship services on Sunday morning. At some point, I recognized that my reading list was very white and that I needed to upgrade my system So I've been continuing that work and will continue it. If you were here, was it last week or 2 weeks ago that Pat Yasha played that wonderful piano last week? I've not upgraded my sense of chronological time yet. So we'll continue to do that, be aware of bringing in music and voices from different cultures and different perspectives. And I told this story that you might remember from my telling, or you might remember from, now this is a thread, from hearing it on public radio. For those of you who are new, I often say, I heard this on the radio. This is a story of a different way to respond to the world in a time when things are very contentious and seem to very quickly become adversarial. This story, I think, offers us an opening, not an answer, but a possibility. It's the story of a group of friends having a celebration in a backyard, maybe on a day like this, except their celebration happened in the evening. It was a beautiful evening, and they had wonderful food out in the backyard, and they were drinking wine and talking and laughing, and then someone walked into the yard with a gun in his hand and pointed it at someone at the party. And they tried to negotiate with him, as one would, and things seemed to be getting more and more tense and escalating, and things were not looking like they were going to turn out well. Until someone in the gathering poured a glass of wine and extended it toward the man with the gun and said, "Would you like some wine?" Well, the man took the wine and lowered the gun and drank the wine and said, "Oh, this is good wine." So they offered him some food, and he ate, and he put the gun away, and he said, I'm sorry, I think I came to the wrong place." And he wandered out of the backyard. In the morning, they found the wine glass placed very carefully on the front steps of the house. It would not have occurred to me to offer wine to the person who was threatening my life. It would not have occurred to me to be essentially open-hearted toward someone who was threatening my life. There was some sense of hospitality and generosity to the humanity of the person, even as they were being violent. This has a technical name, non-complementary behavior. And all it means is when someone starts to be aggressive or challenging toward us, we tend to return the favor. And things escalate very quickly. It's pretty much what you read in the paper these days. The possibility that instead of returning challenge with challenge, one might do something different, I think, is the place where possibility for profound change in our world lies. I would not be able to do what happened in that story. But there might be smaller stakes moments when we can offer something different than what is offered to us. And I think that's one of the threads that I've pulled on all year, is how might we enter conversations and relationships differently? And it's still a question. part of what we were working on when we offered Old Turtle and the Broken Truth as the Easter service, with the story of the stone that falls to earth and breaks in half, and the people take up one half, which says, "You are loved," and they worship it. And they lose track of the fact that the other half of that truth is lost somewhere in the world. And it takes a little girl and an old turtle to put the pieces back together so that it says, "You are loved, and so are they." But the little girl asks a series of questions in that story. And one of them is, how will the people learn these things? How will the people learn these things? And that, I think, is the thread that we will keep following into that future that we're always tumbling into. How will we learn to take each other in even more? How will we let go of the things that we feel shame about and that keep us apart from each other? How will we offer hospitality to even the people with whom we disagree? This is living that we will do in June and July and well into the next decade and century. And it's interesting to think about what is the thread that you hold on to through all of the changes, all of the inevitable losses, all of the fear. I have named the ones that I think I was holding on to through all of the Sundays when we were together this year. And I invite you to think about what is that thread that you don't let go of.